Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. Wanted to go over some news about Russia potentially defaulting on their debt. And I want to pose a question to all of you. Is it a default when your bank won't allow you to make the payment? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I think if you look at it as far as your auto loan or your home loan, your mortgage payment, I don't know that the lender is going to understand if you say, hey, I've got the money to pay you in the bank, but my bank won't let me pay you. I guess at the end of the day, it's still your fault, but it's a very interesting dynamic, especially if you get completely banned from pretty much the entire banking system. Then is it your fault? And then you go down, let's say you've got $100,000 in the bank, or they owe you $100,000, and you've got a $1,000 mortgage payment to make. If they won't let you transfer the money, if they basically freeze your account, what do you do? And again, is it your fault? I think you'd go to, and also too, is the bank that is freezing your account, would they be doing that to harm you? At surface level, it would seem like the obvious answer is yes. But once you think it through, the bank could be freezing your money, not only to harm you, but maybe to harm the person or entity that you were supposed to pay. Let's dive into this story, and I think you guys will see what I'm referring to, give you some food for thought. Back to CNBC, we've got Russia stokes fears of first foreign currency default in more than a century as it attempts to pay. I want to, first of all, give credit to Sam Meredith here with CNBC, because he could have, and maybe he didn't choose this headline, so maybe it was his editor or something like that, but at least they made an attempt to be honest here. What they could have done, and this is a great example of how the media uses propaganda to manipulate you into believing what they want you to believe, is they could have said, Russia stokes fears of first foreign current default in more than a century, period. They could have left it at that. But they chose to be a little bit more honest and say, as it attempts payment. So I've seen a lot of this in the news, and other sources haven't said as it attempts payment. And obviously that's very important, because it makes it seem as though if you leave out that last part, it makes it seem as though Russia is just in financial ruin. The payment, by the way, is $117 million. And you've got this country that can't even make this payment because these sanctions in the U.S. have been so tough on them, and they're just crumbling internally. And as you guys know from watching my videos, my concern there is this gives the American public the impression that Russia is weak, and therefore, and maybe they are weak, but it gives them a false sense of confidence. It makes it seem as though Russia is probably far more weak than they are in reality. That's a better way of saying it. And I think that that emboldens people that are extremely emotional in the West because of this media propaganda to think that, oh, well, let's just start World War III, because who cares? We got to do it. And if we don't do it now, then Putin's going to try to take over all of Europe, and then he's going to try to take over the entire world. And right now he's weak. His troops are quitting. He was supposed to have this invasion that should have been over in a week, and it's not. And, you know, everything's crumbling externally and financially, the ruble's crashing and all these things. So let's just take him out now while we've got the chance. You see, that's, I think, in my personal opinion, that's a very, very dangerous way to think about this. That's going to get you in a lot of trouble. I think that's over-emotional. I think that's completely subjective. And I think that's what the media wants you to believe, because if the United States engages in war, it not only bails out the politicians, it solves a lot of their problems. It solves the problems for the central planners, i.e. central banks. Right there, prior to this, they were between a rock and a hard place where what do? You raise rates to fight inflation while at the same time crashing the stock market potentially, or you just leave rates as is to prop up the stock market, which is basically the economy, but then you run the risk of inflation getting even hotter, and then the politicians don't get reelected. But now all of a sudden, you've got this war, and it's their ticket out. You know what it's like? If you guys follow me on Twitter, back in November when the Omicron scariant came out, I said that this is what the governments need. This is their way out. They can say that they're following the science. They can pull back on all of these draconian measures that are incredibly unpopular and becoming more and more unpopular by the day. And this gives them a window of opportunity. This gives them a lifeline, so to speak. And I think that a war would do the exact same thing for the central banks and for the politicians. It gives them something to divert people's attention away from the fact that they're paying higher prices for pretty much everything, and that's extremely unpopular politically. And it gives the central banks the excuse to keep rates even lower than they otherwise would have, or raise rates at a slower pace because of this quote-unquote uncertainty with Russia. And well, if we just have to pay the price at the gas pump, then that's what we'll just have to do. If you follow me on Twitter, I've retweeted several tweets from celebrities and millionaires and saying that, well, Americans, just suck it up at the gas pump because that's the price we have to pay to push back against Russia. I like it when millionaires say, you know, just suck it up and pay an extra dollar at the gas pump. I like when they say that to the poor and middle class, you know. But anyway, getting back to what we see here, looking at it through that lens, I try to look at every media article through that lens of, you know, what's their incentives? Is this an incentive for propaganda? And that's really where I was going with that. But this article, I think, poses another very interesting question that you might not think through just looking at this at surface level. So again, let's dive into the key points here. Possibility or impossibility of fulfilling our obligations in foreign currency does not depend on us. So this is a quote from the Russian finance minister. Let me read it again here. The possibility or impossibility of fulfilling our obligations in foreign currency does not depend on us. We have the money. We paid the payment. Now the ball's in their side. First of all, of the American authorities. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macro economics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out of control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. His last name is Silyunov, claimed Russia had the necessary funds to fulfill its obligations and pay $117 million in interest on two sovereign euro bonds on Wednesday. So I'm assuming these bonds are denominated in dollars. If you guys actually watched my whiteboard video the other day on the repo fails, I went into this quite extensively. I used Argentina as an example. They say, however, the U.S. should first clarify whether the settlements are even possible. So you've got the United States basically freezing Russia's accounts, just like that example I gave you, if you were trying to pay your rent. And then you've got the U.S. media basically saying, oh, look at Russia. They're financially crumbling to the point where they can't make their payments. while ignoring the fact, most of the mainstream media, I got to give this guy credit, where in reality, it's the United States saying, we're going to go ahead and freeze your account. So although the money's there, they can't make the payment. And I want to point out another thing. Let's go to this article from The Balance talking about how FX reserves work at central banks. And I won't go into that too extensively on this video, but what it does is it, this was back in 2017, and my guess is their reserves would be even greater now. So you've got Russia at $432 billion with a B. I would assume the majority of that is in dollars because they're getting all these dollars from selling the energy, natural gas, and oil. And therefore, if Russia is saying they have the $117 million, this would make me believe them. Because according to this, it's 432 in 2017. My guess is it would be closer to 500 billion. And this is from kind of a third party source. So obviously if they've got 500 billion, the $117 million payment shouldn't be a problem at all. Let's go back to the article. So the article just basically reiterates the key talking points. And it also points out that the Russians have said, okay, well, we'll pay, but you know, we'll pay in rubles because that's the only thing that's the only accounts that we have access to that aren't frozen. So we're happy to pay. We got the dollars. What do you want us to do? I guess we could pay you in rubles. And then the article goes on to say how the, let me actually read this here. CNBC has contacted U.S. Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Asset Control, which administers sanctions, for comment. It was not immediately available to respond. Shocker. It is thought Russia could attempt to deliver payments in rubles. That's what we were talking about. Credit rating agency Fitch, and this is where it gets really interesting here. Credit ratings agency Fitch has warned, however, that payment to bondholders in the currency other than dollars would constitute default. And who's most likely controlling the ratings agencies? That would be the U.S. government, most likely. I think, and I shouldn't say control. That's probably too strong of a word. Let's say influence to a great degree. So then again, put yourself in Russia's position for what do you do, right? So, and then I guess there's kind of a clause in their contract. So the prospect of non-payment would kickstart a 30-day grace period before Russia falls into technical default. And it also goes on, the article says that they could pay in rubles. They could also pay in Chinese yuan because those accounts aren't frozen. So then I want to go to the last paragraph or the last sentence of the article. So Russia's Silyanov indicated on Monday that Russia would use its reserves of Chinese yuan to make some of its payments, with euros and dollars now inaccessible due to sanctions, and also suggested that creditors from hostile countries would be paid in rubles. So I want to back up to the beginning of the live stream where I asked you the question about if a bank froze your $100,000. Initially, it would seem as though they're trying to somehow punish you or you are the risk. Let's just say it that way. But it also could be that the bank knows who has lent you money. The bank knows who you owe that $1,000 mortgage payment to or that $400 car payment to. And what if the bank doesn't want to punish you, but what if the bank really wants to punish the entity that lent you money and you just have to happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, or they are using you as a scapegoat? Now, let me be very clear. I am not implying that Russia hasn't done anything wrong here. I'm not implying that, I'm not making excuses for them invading Ukraine. I think, any type of invasion in any country by another country should be denounced. As you guys know, I'm a libertarian. I don't agree with any type of invasion, but I also don't agree when the United States invades another country. And I think that's what differentiates me from a lot of other people, maybe on Twitter or social media. But again, we never want to let a crisis go to waste, right? That's basically the mantra of the global elite. So think about this. You've got Russia invading Ukraine, and then let's say 2 weeks later, a week later, you come out and say, okay, well, wait a minute here. If we do these sanctions, we are going to really hurt all of these entities that have lent Russia money in the past. And maybe we want to send a message to them that we don't want them lending Russia money in the future. I mean, you could go down this rabbit hole a long, long way. I mean, I'm not saying that this is what they're thinking, but they could say, hey, let's just destroy the financial system. How do we destroy the financial system? Well, we need to destroy all of these banks. Well, how do we do that? Well, what are the banks' exposure to Russian debt? So they do the analysis, and it comes back that a lot of these European banks have massive exposure to Russian debt. Okay, well, let's sanction Russia so they can't make the payments. So then this not only affects Russia, but it potentially makes those banks or those financial institutions in Europe that lent them the dollars in the first place, maybe it puts them under financial strain to the point of maybe even going bust. I'm not saying that that's what their intentions are, but I'm saying that it could be that they're trying to negatively impact entities other than Russia, meaning they're not just trying to negatively impact the borrower, but potentially the lender. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism, and we'll see you in the next video.